This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast on this Sunday morning. And the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Masters Sunday, so we will crown another Masters champion today, and a very popular and familiar name, and one everyone expected to be at the top, and that, of course, is Scottie Scheffler, world's number one. The odds were not very conducive to wagering on him, though, at 4-1. I mean, considering winning a major tournament against that kind of field and just getting 4-1 is not anything you really want to take. But he's there as expected. He has been dominant all year. He is the best player in the world without any argument. And he's got a chance to prove that again this afternoon as he will take a one-stroke lead into the final round of the Masters. Now, it's a little different Masters this year because the one thing you can count on most years with the Masters is that you're going to see a lot of the big dominant names on the board the last day. No Rahm, no Koepka, no Rory, no Spieth. So those guys not there. Either didn't make the cut in the case of Spieth, not playing up to any certain level. Rahm, Koepka, and Rory, none of them within hailing distance. The hailing distance today, you would say, is probably -2. And you have Scheffler, Davis, Haggard there at -2. DeChambeau starts the day at -3. He had a very, very rugged backside. He had a tough 15 where he went for it, put the ball in a bad spot, hit it in the water, wound up with a double. And a double on the fives. When you go in this tournament, you go in and figure you are going to play the fives as fours and dominate there. That's what you expect when you are a big player, a Scheffler, a big hitter like DeChambeau. So when you double a five like that, it's a killer. He did birdie 18 to go back to 3-under, so he at least finished the day with a little good feeling after really coming apart on that back nine yesterday. You have Åberg, who is the young, up-and-coming star who everyone will tell you. And I have not seen him much before this weekend, but I asked guys who know, and they all told me, hey, they said, can't miss prospect. Going to be a great player. And right there, you know, he's there right now. That doesn't mean he's there every year, but he's there in his first Masters, his first major, as a matter of fact. He was on the Ryder Cup last year because he was that impressive, but he is a baby, and he's here in his first major, and he's -4, and yesterday at one point was part of a five-way tie for the lead. You have Homer, who lost one stroke to the field yesterday, who has never played well in a major. He did play well at times in the Ryder Cup last year when the Americans got blown out. He did have a couple of good moments. That was with some pressure on, but he's never been close in a major. We'll see how he does today. Murakawa, who is a legitimate threat today and probably the real threat to Scheffler winning. Two-time major champion, great iron player. As a matter of fact, you probably have there in 1 and 2 in Scheffler and Murakawa, the two best iron players in the world. They're both brilliant, brilliant iron players. and, you know, just hit majestic shots time and time again with their irons, and will be very, very tough. Morikawa jumped up on there yesterday, had the lead at one point. Scheffler went down to 4-under. He got as high as 8-under. He slumped to 4-under. His putter left him for a couple of minutes, and then he comes back with a big eagle to jump right back into a tie for the lead, added a birdie, and next thing you know, he's got the lead again at 7-under par. So Scheffler at 7, Murakawa at 6, Homer at 5, Åberg, it's capital A, but it's pronounced Åberg, DeChambeau 3, Åberg is 4, DeChambeau 3, and then Schauffele, Davis, Haggard are 2. And then if you want to bring the ones into it, they are, there's some good players at one. I mean, attractive players at one, but that's a long way off. You have Cameron Smith, who played even yesterday, bogeyed 18 to finish even. Never got above 2 yesterday. Actually played a whole quarter a pause until 18 when he bogeyed 18. He had 1 birdie early and then 1 bogey late, otherwise 16 pause. You have Young, Fleetwood, are both 1-under. Cantley's even par. Kirk had the best round yesterday at 4-under. As far as the course today, it'll be a while. The leaders tee off at, I believe, 2:35. Let me see. I think it's 2:35. 2:35. That'll be Scheffler and Morikawa. They'll be in the first, the last pairing. Homer and Åberg will be in the one before it, and the one before that will be Schauffele and DeChambeau. And they tee off at 2:15, 2:25, and 2:35. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So you will see every swing of the leaders. And, of course, all eyes will be on Scheffler, who looks to win another major and continue his dominance of the sport. Now, during each round of the Masters, Bet Rivers is offering betting specials. Visit the Bet Rivers app to get the full details and see what awaits you each day of the tournament. So something enticing, something as we conclude the Masters this afternoon. Elsewhere, it's a busy day. The Yankees with the double dip win against Cleveland yesterday. They played a doubleheader because they got rained out on Friday night. Won the doubleheader, and now at 12-3 after 15 games have matched the best record the Yankees have ever had. There have been, I think, 7 times, sometimes good finishes, sometimes bad finishes, doesn't matter. 7 times they have been 12-3 on the season. They've never been better than 12-3 after 15 games. So this is as good a start through 15 games as the Yankees have ever had. They continue to get good performances. Soto has had a really good start. He's got a .458 on base percentage. He's got 15 runs batted in. Hit a home run yesterday. They're getting pitching from a couple of places they might not expect it. And right now, the Yankees have opened up a very nice cushion for themselves and given themselves a little bit of a cushion to start this season, something they haven't had in recent years. So it has obviously given them a bounce in their step, and they have gotten off to a very, very nice start. The Mets lost yesterday, and it'll be interesting today as they play the much-improved Royals in the rubber match of the series. Lindor continues to just struggle mightily. He is 6 for 58 on the season. I mean, that is scary. 6 for 58 on this early part of the season. I mean, wow. 6 for 58, 2 RBIs, 103 batting average, a .221 on base percentage, a .172 slugging, and he is 4 for 45 right-handed. Now, he will see a left-hander today. And he's interesting because he does hit it a lot differently. Now, he hasn't shown a lot from the right side, left side this year. From the right side this year, he's only had 13 at-bats. He has had a double and a homer in his 13 at-bats, the only homer and only double he's had this year. So the only extra base hits he's had are the two he's had right-handed. Last year, he hit 16 homers and 185 at-bats from the right side. He is a very different hitter and a very powerful hitter from the right side. He'll hit home runs from the left side, but not anywhere near with the rate he hits them from the right side. And when you see him, he usually drives the ball and really hits the ball with authority from the right side, and I would think he would do that again today. So it'll be interesting to watch and see if he gets going, see if he gets a couple of hits, see if he puts forth another long ball. Today you can get 4-1 with him hitting a home run, which is not a bad wager because he has a habit of doing that on numerous occasions from the right side. And I would expect him to show you after he continues to dive from the left side. And the numbers just get worse and worse. I mean, he's slugging 089 from the left side, and he's slugging 462 from the right side. But again, the right side is only 13 at-bats. He's 2 for 13, which is a 154 batting average. His batting average from the left side is 4 for 45, which is 089, and his on-base and his slugging percentage from the right side is 089. Which is embarrassing from the left side. So he has done nothing so far. When you realize he's had 10% of his at-bats probably for the year, okay? He's had 60 at-bats, 58 at-bats. He's had 10% of his at-bats. He's got two RBIs, one double, one homer, two RBIs in 58 at-bats. That's not a couple of at-bats. I mean, it's crazy how badly he has gotten off this year. And, you know, if he has a hot streak, if he got a hot streak and went 15 for 40, that would only take him up to 220. So he is going to have to really hit well to overcome that. I mean, he's almost wasted 100 at-bats. If you waste 100 at-bats, that's crazy. He's already wasted 60. I mean, that's a lengthy, lengthy drought. Let's see if it comes out today against when he switches to the right side, because it does usually make a very, very big difference for him. And remember, the NBA season, regular season, thankfully, ends today and they can start the playoffs. I don't have the disgust for the play-in games that they've set up for the playoffs that I do for what they've done with their in-season tournament, which is a disgrace. The Knicks will sit and wait, but first they have a little business to do. They win this game at home today against the Bulls, and they're obviously an overwhelming favorite. It will give them 50 wins. It will guarantee them either the 2 seed or the 3 seed. They can get the 2 seed if the Bucks, who will be limited today and will not have the Freak. I don't know about Lillard. I do know the Freak's not playing. I would not even be surprised if Lillard doesn't play. The Knicks with a win and a Buck loss today against Orlando will be the 2 seed. The worst the Knicks can be is a 3 seed with a win today, and it would be a 50th win, so it would mean a lot. And I would be stunned if they didn't get it today. I would expect them to get it. I would expect them to lock that up. Lock up the 3, hopefully with a little help today, the 2, and get ready for the postseason. And it'll be after what has been a really terrific regular season. And despite the loss of Randle, which I do not take as a big negative, they have to have Robinson. They have to have a healthy OG. If they have that, the way they can play this, they can do really well. And I think they won't miss Randle at all in that regard. Now, it'll be interesting to see exactly how Tibbs deploys his rotation in the playoffs. Everybody tightens rotations in the playoffs. It always depends, too, who you play, because now you're matching up. You're playing a series against a team. So it's not just, hey, we're going to play our game today and move on. This is now heavy scouting, heavy game plan, and then heavy adjustments after the first game is played. So there is a lot that goes on in these playoff series, and it's going to be very interesting to see how the Knicks deploy this. But what they have is a cohesiveness and a versatility that allows them to do a lot of different things. And they've had so many guys who have stepped up and played so much better than you would have expected when you think about it. I mean, every one of their guys, there's not one of them that you would say, boy, he really let me down. Of the guys they've counted on, Brunson has taken his level, his game to an incredible level. He has been scoring on a prolific level. He has done it game after game. He's going to be an all-NBA player this year, probably second team, which is an incredible achievement. I mean, he's one of the top 10 players in the league. They named three teams. I don't think he'll be first team. I don't think there's room at the end. I think he will be second team, which is an incredible achievement. And he has taken his game this year to such a level that he will obviously get for MVP votes, which is a great testimony to what he has done this year. When you see a guy take a scoring average from where it was 4 years ago to where it is now, it is unbelievable. Really remarkable. But think about it. Think about how much more they have gotten out of Hart, out of Dante, out of all the guys. You know, a lot of people didn't like the OG trade. It didn't, you know, and they were like, they didn't get it. This guy gives them a defensive versatility and a defensive integrity that changes who they are. Hart changed who they were. OG changed who they were again. And it's about the sum of the parts in basketball. It's not where you just add a star and you're better. No. The piece has to fit. And when the pieces fit right, as this Knicks team does now, you can get a lot out of it. Do I worry about certain matchups with them? Absolutely. We'll take them one at a time as they happen and discuss them. Are there some vulnerabilities? Yes. But you know what? There's a lot to like. A lot to like as they get ready to go into the postseason. And first things first, finish off with a win today. Obviously, they're a big favorite. You would expect them to put forth a big effort today and get that 50th win. That 50th win means something. Whether they finish third or second means something. Getting to two would be really an achievement and also would set them up very well. So we'll see how that goes today. As far as back to the Masters, other than Morikawa, there's not a lot of... Shoffley is one of those, you know, in that group of best player to never win a major deal. He's got that kind of ability. He could jump up and win. We'll see if somebody goes and posts an early number to shoot at. He would be a candidate for doing that. DeChambeau is such an unusual player, and he brings length, but he's also delicate in some regards. Åberg, despite his brilliant talent, is untested in this. I don't think Homa is ready to win this. Morikawa is, I think, the biggest threat to Scheffler, but I expect Scheffler to do what he does, and that is close out his opponents again today and do it against a field that, other than Morikawa, lacks a lot of big tournament credibility. DeChambeau has some. Shoffley's been around the block. But there's a lot of new faces there. And going through that at Augusta, the first time, the back nine, the crowds, everything, how a bounce of the ball can make such a difference. You misread the wind. You misread something on 12, it winds up in the water. On 13, it winds up in the water. It's so easy to wind up rolling down the hill into the water, in trouble. And that's what makes these holes great. You can make three. You can make eight on those par fives. You can hit two great shots and make an eagle. Or you can hit the ball in a place where it's nightmare city. And the two finishing holes are very tough to score on. Very tough to score on. And they're very easy to be over par. So it makes tight leads vulnerable. You know, they always say the Masters doesn't begin until the back nine on Sunday. I think it begins before that. But what that means is there's always the ability for someone to get red hot and move dramatically on that backside, or someone to give it up. Like a couple of years ago, yesterday they showed the 2019 when Tiger won it. And you saw all those guys come to 12. Molinari come to 12. And he had put forth hole after hole where he just looked like, man, that guy's never going to give up a stroke. Precision, putting the ball in the right place. No wasted strokes, no wasted motions. And then puts the ball in the water. Koepka, playing brilliantly at that time, put the ball in the water. Tony Finau put the ball in the water. And Tiger came up, knocked the ball on the green, went about his business, and went on to take off and win the Masters. Playing that back nine under that pressure with those crowds, with that history, and with the subtleties of that course make it fascinating. And that's what we get again this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.